Okay. Well, today, Bella, his Hallelujah song, I'm afraid what you do in the name of your Lord.
Come back.
Absolutely sums up Sam Harris, I think. And we're going to be talking about, well, three different things. The book, The End of Faith, and then his follow-up book in response to all the negative stuff he got, Letter to a Christian Nation. And then Randy is also going to talk about an article that he wrote on Buddhism. And I wanted to start with a quote that he has toward the beginning of his book to kind of put things in perspective a little bit. It says, according to Gallup, 35% of Americans believe that the Bible is the literal and inerrant word of the creator of the universe. Another 48% believe that it is the inspired word of the same, still inerrant, though certain of its passages must be interpreted symbolically before their truth can be brought to light. Only 17% of us remain to doubt that a personal God in his infinite wisdom is likely to have authored the text. He says that as liberals, we tend to think that people really don't believe what they say they believe, because we don't, and we can't conceive of the fact that anybody really believes that. He says, believe them, because they probably really do believe it. But that's one of our, he identifies that as one of moderate and liberal failings, is that we don't recognize that people really, really do believe what they say. And he says, beliefs are principles of action. Therefore, if you believe, it does make a difference on how you behave. He feels the Abrahamic religions are especially dangerous, that they're dogmatic and vindictive, allow no other views. He's got pages and pages where he quotes the Bible and quotes the Quran about, if you do this, then kill this person, kill that person, kill your children if they're not obedient to you, kill your brother if he takes an idol. It's just kill, 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 kill.
Which ones are the Abrahamic religions?
Judaism, Christianity, and
Islam.
Islam, yeah. Those are the Abrahamic religions. He clearly finds those much more dangerous than things like Buddhism and Hinduism. He said, you know, if you have multiple gods, it's not that big of a stretch to throw in one more.
Oh. Or throw out one.
Yeah, but if you're monotheistic, yeah, then there is no room for, yes, there's no wiggle room at all. And he says that in the, that for moderates, let's see, he uses this idea of people, he has a view of, his view of morality is that it's one of, it's very simple, one of happiness versus suffering. And he says religious dogma is often the cause of suffering. And he uses many examples. One that came to me was the HPV vaccine that we now have to prevent cervical cancer. He said, you know, people have opposed that because it might encourage sex before marriage, or the use of condoms, and then spread of HIV, and how in sub-Saharan Africa the prohibition against the use of condoms attached with any kind of money to help in HIV has led to thousands and thousands and thousands of deaths, and that he would consider that an immoral stand done by churches who are, you know, in theory supposed to be moral. He feels that the Muslim faith is particularly dangerous. He said that at least in the Bible there are some moderate some texts that moderates can use to justify their stand, you know, the early parts of the New Testament. But he said he found almost none of those in the Quran, that the Quran was much more vindictive, and that the underlying view is that everybody should be converted or killed. And if you convert to Islam and then want to convert back to whatever you were, that's clearly cause to be killed. And we saw that in Afghanistan when that man converted to Christianity, and then they had a death sentence. They had to spirit him out to Italy. So it's not like it's just theoretical. And he has a chapter on pacifism, and he does not believe in pacifism. He's just afraid we're all going to get run over by the Islamic fundamentalists who are strong in their belief, and that if we're wishy-washy in our response, so we're just going to get run over. This is what he says about religious tolerance. Spot. He says, of course, people of faith fall on a continuum. Some draw solace and inspiration from a specific spiritual tradition and yet remain fully committed to tolerance and diversity, while others would burn the earth to cinders if it would put the end to heresy. There are, in other words, religious moderates and religious extremists, and their various passions and projects should not be confused. One of the central themes of this book is that religious moderates are themselves the bearers of a terrible dogma. They imagine that the path to peace will be paved once each of us has learned to respect the unjustified beliefs of others. The very idea of tolerance, born of the notion that every human being should be free to believe whatever he wants about God, is one of the principal forces driving us towards the abyss. So he is not tolerant of what he considers irrational belief because of his idea that beliefs are the principles of action, and that the actions that are taken in the name of these beliefs are very destructive. He does recognize that there are experiences that are transformative, and he's working on a PhD in neuroscience. And he's very interested in studying things in a scientific way. And he says this transformative experiences can be documented through studying the brain. And he said the problem was there are these transformative experiences that people experience throughout the world. But when they have them, they get all tied up with the religious dogma. So, when you have one of these wonderful experiences, then it's God or Jesus or Muhammad or whatever base you come from that you build around this transformative experience instead of just taking it on its own. He's clearly very sympathetic to the Buddhists and the Jains, people who experience these and don't have a lot of dogma hooked up with it. He said that it's not, that, when we hear about suicide bombers, we don't think, oh, that's another one of those Buddhists who've been having this terrible experience in Tibet. No, you don't think about that in terms of Buddhists, because they're not gonna be suicide bombers. They have other ways of dealing with the world. You're going to think of it in terms of Islam, because that's the group that's going to have suicide bombing. Those are the people, Buddhists aren't going to be going around blowing themselves up.
Occasionally you can commit suicide, but that's not, that's a private thing.
Right. And a very internally selected protest, as opposed to this other.
Does he go into differences within Islam? I mean, there are a lot of Islamists who are very unhappy that all of the, the suicide bombers that blow up, as many people as they can, that they're called Islamists, and they say, well, that's not what we've learned in the Quran.
Right, except
Does he
that
make these differences?
He says that the moderates are the ones who kind of accept the, you know, who still say, well, the Quran is our guide when it says kill, 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 kill throughout the Quran. He said, these people are not crazy. They're, you know, they have a set of beliefs and they're acting on their beliefs. He says, what we believe happens after death is extremely important, because if you truly believe that you're going to get 17 virgins in heaven or whatever it is, and you're going to help all of your family get to heaven, and that's truly what you believe, then being a suicide bomber is not an illogical act. He used another example of the death penalty, where there was, you know, there's some of us who are opposed to the death penalty, and he said, well, this one person who said, oh, well, if you kill somebody by mistake, well, that's not a big problem, because if they were innocent, they're going to go to heaven anyway. And if they were guilty, you know, they're not. So if we kill some people in error, you know, what difference does it make? So that's an example of a Christian belief that would be fully logical if you truly believe that the good are going to go to heaven and the bad are going to go to hell. Then why does it matter if you cut this earthly life short? So what you believe about death, he said, if there was no death, if people weren't afraid of death, there wouldn't be all of these religions. Because the idea of what happens after death really, really is critical to the way some people behave in life and to their ideas in life. Which, you know, it's, I'm reminded of a Central Midwest District meeting that I went to with my daughter when she was going to a Lutheran school, private Lutheran school in Chicago, and that turned her into a terrific UU. And we went to this one session at it was a panel, and they were talking about different religions, and the person on the panel was sort of saying, well, you know, nobody really believes. I forget if we were talking about heaven and hell and that sort of thing. And Casey stood up at, I think she was maybe 11 or so at the time, and said, people really do believe that. You know, that's silly to say they don't believe it. They do. She said, all of my friends at school are just so worried that I'm going to go straight to hell. She said, of course, I tell them my family will all be there if that's the case. But she had seen what the adults in the group hadn't seen. And that was, people really do believe it. She trusted that if they said they believed this, they did. And so he sees that as a real blind spot in our assessment of the world. And then I wanted to read just kind of at the end of the book. He had a nice statement of what I called his core belief, which was really lovely. He said, I'm looking for
right
the exact...
At the end of the epilogue?
Right at the end of the epilogue. No personal God need be worshipped for us to live in awe at the beauty and immensity of creation. No tribal fiction need be rehearsed for us to realize one fine day that we do, in fact, love our neighbors, that our happiness is inextricable from their own, and that our interdependence demands that people everywhere be given the opportunity to flourish. The days of our religious identities are clearly numbered, I wish. When the days of civilization itself are numbered, would seem to depend rather too much on how soon we realize this. And he says in another place, he said that, you know, if we're living long enough, each of us will suffer loss of his friends and family. All are going to lose everything they love in this world. why would one want to be anything but kind to them in the meantime?
Could you repeat?
Okay.
The last.
Living long enough, each will suffer the loss of his friends and family. We are all going to lose everything they love in this world. Why would one want to be anything but kind to them in the meantime?
These pronouns are a little confusing.
Yeah. It might, if I read the whole paragraph, it might.
Maybe. Could you read a couple of other sentences of
that epilogue?
The part about mystery, I think that's important. The first sentence of that was
the first sentence of the epilogue?
A couple first sentences, yeah. Man is manifestly not the measure of all things. This universe is shot through with mystery. So he deals with the very effectively with the vast mystery that we all deal with. The fact that we really don't know anything to speak of about the universe. There's a lot more that we don't know than
What we do know.
We don't know what's down those black holes.
And it's an enormous mystery that we've invented. Gods to deal with. And what he's saying is, we don't need to invent God, we can deal with it as just another, as great mysteries without inventing us.
Yeah. He talks about science versus religion. Says, reducible to human cognition, either you have a good reason for a belief or not. Faith is the license to keep believing when reason fails.
Mark, I think, I'm reading into it, maybe I'm not, but he says he doesn't believe in a personal God. I think I would take that, he might say that having a God to explain things, it might not be what he would do, but he would approve of that. It's what, when you believe in a God, you act to diminish other people's lives, the problem, right?
He's
concerned about the violence generated by believing in a God, but I don't think he would say it's not okay to believe in a God as long as you keep that as your own personal belief and don't impinge that on other people.
Now, actually, I get the feeling from him that he doesn't approve of even that because it leads to...
Automatically leads to
irrational thinking.
Or at least a lack of criticism of the more fundamentalist.
Right.
I believe that, I'm a person who's always tolerated people's religions. I'm completely agnostic. And I'm a doctor, a very conservative apostle, and had an incredible experience this week. And this totally relates to this. But,
tell us.
Well, I will tell you because it was really bad. And that's why I decided to come to this today. I'm actually thinking about giving Christians all a copy of this second book we're going to talk about. But what I found is, I didn't ever mind religious people. I never understood them. But because of all this fundamentalism in the United States and the far right, the moderate Christians have tolerated this. Now, I do believe they fight back in a lot of ways. They try to do a lot, but they don't get the press. But in a certain sense, moderately religious people know they don't have irrational beliefs. They act within their realm of their personal lives. So I disagree with him that having moderate religion, when people realize it helps them cope with their own lives, is a bad thing. I think for a lot of people, it does help them. They need this thing to keep them on track. But when it's dangerous is when they do not speak up and don't realize how offensive the far-right extremists are to people who aren't religious at all. Because they may find them offensive, but for someone who's not religious, who just finds this whole thing completely out of whack, they're quite not sure what side to take. They're kind of baffled by this because they know, they're partly reasonable, they know this is totally out of whack. But because they're somewhat religious, they don't really want to criticize their far-flung colleague or whoever it is.
Right.
Contribute to this, but I think that you have a lot of moderates here in this country who don't like what's going on with Christianity, which I think is, in our country, is obviously the danger here. And they don't know how to respond. And I don't know if it's because they don't know how, or they just don't get the press, because you need press in America. I think they're caught in the middle between reason and rationality and not wanting to condemn their colleagues. So it doesn't lead to beliefs that hurt other people, but just not speaking up against extremists is the problem.
And this is where that that concept of repressive tolerance comes in. He uses that, and that's an old concept brought up in the 60s by Marcuse, one of the great left thinkers of our time. And he, in fact, one of his books is entitled Repressive Tolerance. And it shows exactly what he, you made that point in one of your, what you were quoting there. When you shoot for total tolerance, you end up with nothing and you will have to allow all this mass killing of all the other religions because you tolerate. You have to be so tolerant that you understand everything that these religions bring about. And I mean, I like Marcuse's formula, repressive tolerance. But this is something I think that we shy away from. And as you said, the moderates shy away from because we want to be so tolerant. You know?
But you know what it does is for people who are not religious at all, that you can tolerate religion. I tell you, I see one person now who talks about being Christian, Catholic, anything, I'm just like, I used to tolerate them. I'm like terrified. I just think they're all completely unreasonable. I just don't want to be around anyone that has anything. And I know there are a lot of them that are moderate that don't approve of this. But as a person who used to tolerate them, crazy tolerance on my side, I have like zero tolerance for religion at this point in my life. Because they have tolerated this extremist. And it really affects me on a day-to-day basis. Because anyone even tells me to go to church now, I'm like, you stay away from me.
But there's another side to it. This argument, and that's his argument too, he forgets that psychologically there's a large percentage of people all over the world, and they are the ones who have never learned to be rational, because you're not born rational. You learn it by broadening your frame of reference and so forth. And for huge numbers, particularly in poverty-stricken countries, this idea that there's some saving somewhere out there is the only way they can stand their lives. And this is a psychological concept. And I think this guy, and Marcuse sometimes too, neglects that aspect, and it is a humanistic and a psychological aspect.
Actually,
and that's what makes it difficult.
Yeah, he does talk some about us kind of rationalizing. I wish I had marked that quote. It's in here about, that liberals tend to blame our government for, our bad behavior and thereby excuse the bad behavior of others. And he says, look at the people who flew the planes into the World Trade Center. They were all highly educated, cosmopolitan. I mean, these were not people who were products of poverty and stress.
No.
They were well educated. Well,
and not only that, they lived here for such a long period of time and were exposed.
So he said, people who are well educated, you would think rational human beings, if they have these ideas of the afterlife and all that sort of thing that are taught, that does not moderate the behavior. Because they're acting on what they feel is logical, if they truly believe that. So
they are also the ones that stir up these totally huge, uneducated, poverty-stricken masses, which is, my favorite example is those innocuous little cartoons in that Danish newspaper, if you remember. And I've seen them in Der Spiegel. They had them printed. There was nothing to them. And I saw on my German television an interview with one of the imams, those priests, who really got the masses going. And the interviewer asked him whether it didn't bother him that people of his own faith were killed. There were quite a few people killed in these riots. And he very coolly said, well, we'll just have to take, this is the sort of thing that happens. That's what happens when you have people get excited about religion. And he was very cool about that. I mean, those are the people that I would really fight against.
I think that what has happened in this country, however, just to take a mild issue with you here, I think the dam has broken in terms of the moderates not speaking up. I'm hearing more and more people, whether it's moderate Protestants, moderate evangelicals, there are some, moderate Islam Muslims, I think more and more and more, I think people now have gotten scared enough when they see what's going on that they are speaking up. And I think that is a trend that's changed. I think the election is evidence of that trend changing. I hope it doesn't go back in its tolerant hole. But
yeah, I don't agree with everything he says, especially Lolita, in the middle of the book.
The bishop of the Madison Diocese.
Oh, he's not in that category.
No, but just a minute. In our societal leanings, he would be labeled a moderate overall, compared to the fundamentalists. I believe that if you were, were to identify people's roles and everything else in a scale of from radical left to radical right, that this bishop would show up on people's perception.
Oh, I got a different scale.
No, being, I wouldn't agree at all.
As being moderate, because he's so institutional as a role, and in terms of the Catholic Church in Wisconsin is considered to be part of the body politic, and this is the normal type of religious in the center. And I think our definitions are really off. And so my point is that I don't think we can use the term moderate because it has so many meanings. And I'm not certain how to resolve the issue.
Well, I think in terms of the discussion here, that moderate is someone who's opposed to doing in your neighbor because they're religious.
He's not a fundamentalist. Yes.
That doesn't mean they're liberal. That doesn't mean that they are atheist. I'm talking about Christian moderates who don't believe in doing in their neighbor because they're religious.
We're talking more about how they feel about others than what they feel for themselves.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear Caleb.
The evangelical Christians in the news just in the last month or two. It's the news about a large number of evangelical Christians in this country suddenly turning green. They're saying, now we say that our evangelical Christians have to preserve nature. Right?
The creation.
Because God created nature, and therefore, it's the religious thing for us to do.
God created human beings, too.
Part of that, they were in the camp of the destroyers. They were in the camp of all of the private property owners and the corporations, the greedy people who were making money off of destroying, off of pollution, of destroying everything they could destroy in nature just to make a buck, right? Now they've seen the light, and they are saying, we've got to preserve nature. But the reason is the belief, basic belief in God. God made nature, everything that we see, made the earth, made the universe, made all living things. Therefore, if we love God, and we believe certain passages in the Bible, we pick out particular passages, then we must be stewards of all this, right? But it's still a faith-based, God-based religion.
Harris, though, so talks about the whole apocalyptic idea, too, and it says, it's darn scary that we've got people in the government who actually believe that, things are, you're going to blow things up, and then that's going to lead to the second coming of Christ. And those people, many of them are in the inner circle of our government. That's another example that he uses of religion being very dangerous. He said, if one of these days New York City blows up, there are people who will be excited about that because it means the second coming is at hand.
Barb, could I share something that one of my professors told me? He'd lived in Afghanistan, this is a number of years ago, and he'd also lived in Zambia. And so he'd seen quite a bit of Eastern religions. And this happened to be in law school, so he pointed out to us that unlike in the United States, the law and the religion and the culture are one. They are seamless. in an Islamic surrounding. And people take that for granted from the beginning because they've never had anything else. They don't have a choice of churches. They don't have a choice of shops because of whose religion it is. They and the law that will govern them is from the Quran, not civil law that's separate and apart from it. When you are accustomed to something seamless like that, I think it accounts for what you were talking about in terms of rationality. To us, something may seem highly irrational, but if it's all that's ever come at you from every side of your life and all that ever will, then the rationality has a very different base. Now, you come to America with the Christian right in comparison to and contrast with Islam, and you have a group who's, at least who they claim, whose religious faith ordains certain things. And I think it makes sense, in a weird sort of way, that they should try also to change their civil life, witness laws about who may marry and who may not, or who may choose birth control or not. And they want to bring into line also their governmental life, which would include anybody who represents the law, for example, the Supreme Court, and for example, your president. So this president that we have now, you know, it's one of those, if you don't know about history, you're doomed to repeat it. He has no comprehension of the fact that this is a historically seamless culture we are fighting, not community, and that therefore any of the rules he's used to being a product of the United States don't apply. And so he's trying to deal with them in what he thinks is their way, but it's very much our way. Meanwhile, the Christian right is trying to get everything into line. They want their government, and they want their culture, and they want their legal system in perfect continuity with their religious beliefs, and they're working to get that to happen because, I guess, like Islamics, they believe that is the right way to do things and that it's only a matter of time for the rest of us to shape up.
But you know,
if you come from that, it's no wonder that you don't sit back objectively and look at it a slightly different way or say, hey, wait a minute.
They're as cloistered as Islamic people are, though, is what I found out about these people. They don't have, and most of us probably know how someone who's a Buddhist thinks, someone who's a Hindu, someone who's a moderate Catholic. You all know that there are different beliefs and how people think. What I found out about people who, especially in small towns, devoutly religious, they really don't know that a large portion of other people think unlike them because their discourse are all within this small
it's very
framework
limited.
Of evangelical Christians. So I will tell you about my experience, which is very relevant here today, because being a humanist, I'm a physician and I work in one of the small towns around here. And I lived in a very conservative part of Alaska for 11 years as a moderate Democrat, where I could only make, and I head back to the Midwest like 3 years ago. So this gay marriage amendment has come up, and I tolerated people's religion for years, but with all the stuff that's going on in the United States, I've come to despise it. On a day-to-day basis, with everything that's gone on, I'm so frustrated at not being able to do anything. And when I came here, I chose to go to a small town because I was caring for a parent instead of coming to Madison. It took me about a month to realize I'm in another right-wing town with flag wavers, you know, churches everywhere, and no one knows anything about anything.
Nor
so in three years, I have not heard a discussion of war, not one. Not one.
That's
in 3 years.
That's right.
Not anyone has mentioned the war, George Bush, bombing Iraqi citizens, government torture, nothing. Mm-hmm. I walk around this vacuum going, are any of you people alive? It's incredible. They talk about their families, their Bible, the church, their funerals, the weddings, the family functions, and among the physicians, not one, in a medical staff of about 40 people. And I'm walking around in a perfectly livid state most of the time going, this is unbelievable. You think that at least in a casual conversation I might pick up they're upset and talking about any of this.
Yeah.
There is no concept that anything is going on outside this community.
Have you met Rachel
Long? Are they
in
denial, or are they dumb, or do they approve all this? Psychologically.
I'm serious. Have you met Rachel Long? She's a physician also, and she lives down near Monroe. And I remember once, maybe 10 years ago, when she stood up and said very much what you're saying now, a teeny bit slower,
well,
but very
I'll
much
I'll just tell you what happened.
That.
So anyway, I'm just going, because I'm actually not planning on staying there permanently, and I realize there's all these Christians in this town, including probably a certain continuum of them, but again, the most vocal are the most vocal, so when the gay marriage member, I was really happy about the election result, when this gay marriage member came up, I actually knew it would pass, I just had a feeling it would, because it appeals to all these, you know, people with trucks and rednecks that they appeal to, that follow the few educated ones who don't know anything about anything. I've lived around people like this for a long time, not cloistered in Madison. I know how they don't think. They say, like, they don't think. But we had 6 physicians, 4 of whom are in my group practice. I work for Dean. Write a letter to the editor in the Beaver Dam newspaper, if any of you saw it, as physicians supporting the marriage amendment, okay? 7 male physicians with doctor in front of their name, not as a group, okay, not as a group.
Oh, separate, each individual.
Well, they wrote a group letter about how this is health, we want you to vote for this ban because of it'll affect American families, and quoting health and welfare with no studies and this and that, and 4 of them happen to be right-wing Christian. I mean, I obviously know they're Christian. I can feel this oppressive Christian atmosphere everywhere in this hospital. So 4 of them, and then 4 other ones, all male physicians, 4 of whom, they work in my group, and I'll tell you. The week before that happened, one of the doctors passed out the research thing from the Family Research Council, which you all know is the most hard-working group, to all the physicians in the hospital with information, and I know who they are, and I didn't even think to complain. I was livid as hell. And apparently a couple of the other medical staff members, and I know it's a conservative place, complained to the chief of staff. So when I came back from my vacation 4 days later, there was a memo from our chief of staff that a lot of the doctors complained and medical staff mailboxes are not for religious and political propaganda. Now, and she didn't say political, she said religious propaganda. So that was a kick in the butt. And then they had the same day the letter came out in the paper. And I almost fell over. I'm like, this is unbelievable. As physician, signed doctor. And then they put an ad in the Beaver Dam newspaper, physicians for traditional marriage vote. Yes, so they got some response back from very articulate medical students, 4 of whom were raised in Beaver Dam and are going to school in Madison, giving the rational reasons that how disappointed they were in these doctors and why you shouldn't support this. And then they got a couple other heartbreaking letters written from a bunch of teachers who just said, you know, our hearts are broken that as doctors you misrepresented yourself to the public. As physicians, you represented your personal religious beliefs as medical knowledge, okay?
Oh, they did in the
letter? Well, that was a letter from a bunch of teachers. And in the meanwhile, I'm watching this because I actually wrote a letter. I don't know if they're going to publish it because it's all about moral hypocrisy about Christians. This is a very conservative town. So basically, we had a medical staff meeting, and I work with 4 of these guys, and I've always felt this Christian environment everywhere in this hospital. And he stood up, and he's always a nice guy. And the thing is, he really does believe he's doing the right thing. This is what I found out about him. He thinks he's a leader. He actually does some charity care, which is totally inefficient. But he stood up, and he went through his list of things he's always talked to us about. And the last thing he said, and about the gay marriage amendment, if you, any of you want to talk about this, I couldn't tell if people had given him support or he'd gotten kicked about that, you know. And then he started talking about how he felt betrayed by the American Society of Pediatrics because all the medical associations came out against the ban because, and many of those people may have been personally against it, but they knew as physicians you have to take a broader look using science and rational beliefs, including the Wisconsin State Medical Association and the American Academy of Family Physicians and the American Pediatric Association all wanted people to vote against this because it was their official position. And he was going to read us his editorial, and I just stood up and I'm like, stop! You want to talk about out-and-out fight, because one of Sam Harris's essays talks about how being polite, it was the one on the internet, about this does not get us anywhere, because I've been so mad for 10 years, and this is my chance. So I just stood up, and I literally lit into him, because he said he lied, but I got dragged into this. And he's actually all over the FRI website, a 2-page essay when the federal marriage amendment thing was on. He's got a 2-page essay on the Wisconsin website under Physicians Resource Council about how doctors should make house calls on the church. We need to do this rapidly with quotes from scripture. So I just told him, you are a moral hypocrite, and all of you, I mean, I was mad as hell. There's no being nice to you. All of you that signed the letter are moral hypocrites. You're physicians. You should act from a higher moral base. I said, we have people dead in Iraq. We have a bankrupt country. We are legally torturing people. And for you to take a public stand on this issue in the letter is an embarrassment to all of us. it wasn't even logical. I was so mad. I said, you're just moral hypocrites. And then I just said, as an American citizen, I'm sick of your attempted takeover of our country. You do not own this country. This isn't your country. And shut up and sit down. And then I told my but you know what? It was really good. The medical staff needed this. There's a lot of people who actually agreed with me. They just don't speak up. I'm just fed up with all of them. And then at the end, I point out, and by the way, you didn't get dragged into this. Why don't you tell us about your two-page website? You know, just to point out, he's lying. Like they all do. They lie to justify ends justify the means. You know, and I said, I'm not a religious American. I'm a middle-of-the-road American. I'm just tired of all your attempted hostile takeover of this country. You know? And so then, actually, I think he was kind of taken aback. And so actually I was just looking around the room and no one else said a word.
Right.
Not one word was said. Finally one person intervened and said, well, we're gonna talk about gay marriage later at our medical association meeting that night. I'm like, good, because you know what I decided? I'm done being nice to these people. I'm on a full blown war, no apologies, no being nice, no moderation. It is complete out and out war. And so afterwards, two of the people, one of whom is a surgeon who's a moderate Christian, probably doesn't really practice any Christian belief, but goes, you know, typical person goes to church, doesn't think about this. Another one is a moderate Democrat. Thank you. You made my day. How long have we been waiting for this? You made my day. Someone told him to shut up. Okay, because he's always begging us for money. We're always supporting his church health services. And I have to believe that there are a lot of pretty serious Christians. The whole medical administration was in there. And there are a lot of who didn't say anything. And I'm just like, I'm not being embarrassed. I'm not apologizing. I'm going to go right back to work. Because the fact is I also have a really good reputation. And they know I'm a really good doctor. I don't miss diagnoses. I don't have people come back. And it's just been really funny. Like, I went to the board the other day, and I'm like, I mean, a couple ones I call moral hypocrites, they're just looking at the ground. Because when you point it, no one ever reads it effective, it's not effective stuff. I said, why are we always funding religiously based organizations? I'm a Wisconsin State Medical Association member. I want to send my money to something that's not religiously based. And they gave me the money, but they only gave me half. So, because I think some of the other doctors are starting to realize I'm pretty vocal, and you know what? And so, guess what? Friday, Natalie, because I've given him money for his charity services, and I found out that he has lost a lot of support. He has people who have come and helped him that fundraise for him have left. They will see people leaving their practice because of this. And he said, "I just want to let you know, basically politically, we believe pretty differently, but I think we have a lot in common. If you want to sit down and talk, I'd be happy to." I'm like, I didn't answer it, and I'm not answering it. Until I leave. I actually am not working with these right-wing wackos in this office anymore. I got to get out of there in like 2 months. But it's like, until I leave.
They need you.
They do need me. Because the fact is, I'm smarter than all of them. They're all like, but the thing is, they don't think about this. I mean, he is stunned that anyone, he actually says, I'm actually sorry I got involved in this because it's costing him a lot. And a lot of people are pissed at him who are moderates. He heard it the other day. He kind of got the cold shoulder from everyone. They won't take a stand like me. But it's like, maybe you need to realize that other people don't all think like you. They don't realize it. This is what I realize about these people.
Oh, yeah.
He has no concept that someone would ever stand up to him because he's always waving his bottle around. They're so nice. I'm like, guess what? I'm not nice, and I'm not going to shut up. And I was at least a bit embarrassed. I thought that if they published my letter, which basically says the same thing about how what moral hypocrites these physicians are, I wrote it. I don't know if they'll publish it because it talks about how one of his doctors are on the website. It was last Sunday. I don't know if they'll publish it now. But it basically says the same thing. And it talks about using reason and analysis and compassion for those who preach the moral high ground. Maybe they'll have the chance of reaching it. And it's so well written. It's so far beyond their letter. And I'm hoping they publish it. And I was sitting there going, oh my God, they're going to publish it. And I'm like, well, now everybody knows how I think. I hope they publish it.
Yeah, that's
good,
true.
But the best part is it shut these people up. And I saw a bunch of them today. I work with them. They cover for me. But the funny part is, like, I'm just so done being intimidated by the moral high ground. They don't understand how other people think. It amazes me. They have no concept that there's different. And the people who are moderates do be quiet. They sit down. And they'll say thank you to me. I think they'd probably follow my lead if I keep confronting about it because they're going to get tired of fighting. But they'd rather just acquiesce to them rather than stand up.
Right.
And what I have found out from this is I've had like four doctors say something to me that we have a lot of moderate people who don't have the courage to stand up to them. They just tolerate it.
And you now identified them because you
I know there's more. I know there's more. And they don't want to take sides. Medical staffs do not like to be polarized along political. But it's like living in the ozone there where no one discusses anything. It's incredible.
Yeah.